Lowe's knows that no matter your paint project, saving is at the top of your list. That's why when you shop today, you can buy one, get one free select Valspar and HGTV Home by Sherwin-Williams one coat coverage interior paints via rebate. Shop these deals in-store or online today at Lowe's. We help, you save. Selection varies by location. While supplies last. Discount taken at time of purchase. See sales associate for details. Offer valid 8/21 through 9/3.
This is the Friends of History Debating Society. I'm John Batchelor with Professor H.J. McIntyre, International Relations, commenting on the points of view of three capitals as we do each weekend. And now we begin the fourth week of the war in Ukraine, a global conflict, economically, spiritually, militarily, a global conflict. Professor, we turn to Brussels. The news is that the President of the United States is headed to Brussels later on this week to meet with other leaders of NATO nations, 27 in all, counting the U.S. White House Press Secretary Psaki announced the travel plans at a press briefing. Psaki said Biden would attend the NATO summit March 24th to discuss ongoing deterrence and defense efforts related to Russia's invasion and to reaffirm America's ironclad commitment to the alliance. One detail, Professor. Oft times in 1938, in order to buoy the diplomatic efforts by London, by Paris, even by Prague, in dealing with the aggressor, the Hitlerites, oft times it was cited in the newspapers and in person and in Parliament and other legislative bodies that the people don't want war. The people will do anything to avoid war. We will not go to war. Anyone who keeps us out of war is a hero. It reminds me, as you mention about nuclear war, that we've substituted nuclear war for war at all, because in 1938 they were all thinking of the trenches of the Great War. They were not thinking of the apocalypse of the mushroom cloud of 1945, nor all the tests that have happened since then. And surprisingly, it works the same way. You bring up nuke war, and suddenly the public falls back and says, that's right, anybody who protects us from nuke war is a peacemaker and not a warrior. Is that a fair analogy, Professor, to the use of this rhetoric by Putin?
Well, I think it is, and frankly, I'm rather surprised that the United States, which is massively powerful, possessor of nuclear weapons of all types, that we should flinch and bend from a psychological point of view. First, from a military point of view, the use of nuclear weapons is suicidal, even against a place like Britain. Britain has got a submarine, which has got enough nuclear missiles in it to destroy anywhere. So there's no reason for us to be afraid specifically of a strike against the United States. A nuclear war would be the end for everybody, including the Russians. But it is now evident that even though we managed to get through the whole first Cold War and, say, the Cuban Missile Crisis and so forth and so on, without flinching and talking as if we were ready to use nuclear weapons in retaliation, that we have now, that they've discovered, that the Russians have discovered that the present leadership in the United States is so afraid of nuclear war that they will avoid seeking even a conventional victory. In other words, I think that right now, if Ukraine had the right weapons, they could inflict a defeat on the Russians that would be like Saratoga in 1777. It didn't determine the outcome of the American War of Independence, but it absolutely changed the course of it. And it was really that was the moment when it became clear that the United States were going to make it. But we have, although we've supplied lots of weapons, we haven't been willing to give them the real sharp swords and spears. And if you're going to win a battle and win a war, if violence is going to determine the future, and with Putin's invasion, it indicates that he was clearly counting on violence. Violence is best countered by violence. I often say that people talk about using the economic weapon. Well, we'll see how well that works. In wars, the most important weapon is what I call the weapon. And if you talk to international relations specialists, this is one thing about which they know the least, and they're the least comfortable talking about how you employ the weapon. So in Europe, I think that Biden is going to discover that the Europeans are much more worried about the expansion of the war than we are, because they're right next to it, whereas we are separated by an ocean. And yet they're not in a position to deal on their own if Putin attempts a comeback and victory, particularly if the United States remains, as we seem to be, almost indifferent to the outcome. That will really get them upset. Suppose that the United States reaches over the heads of the Europeans, as was hoped, I think, in the Kremlin, and makes an appeasement peace with Putin that solves our political problems while leaving Europe next door to a reinvigorated Russia with no U.S. Well, then we've got a problem. Then they have a problem, and we are not going to help. And I gather that the president is going to be talking chiefly about what we do if the Chinese start helping the Russians to avoid the sanctions by providing food, by providing weapons. And our intelligence indicates that there's a very, very rather eager and active response from the Chinese, a favorable response. And this suggests that we would then face this terrible problem. Are we going to plan to win the whole thing by sanctioning China, too? Are the Europeans going to put up with sanctioning? I mean, this is bizarre, but it's said that this is what the president is going to talk about, is what will the Europeans do? The question that I would just ask is, let's get at the state of mind of the Americans who are making these policies. Think of Franklin Roosevelt. Could he have won World War II simply by using economic sanctions and lend-lease to allies? Roosevelt, we began to win the war when we began to fight, and all the rest was a prelude that could never have led to a decision.
I want to read from the London Telegraph today remarks by the Prime Minister of Great Britain, who will be in attendance at the Brussels meeting on the 24th with the President of the United States. This is Boris Johnson addressing the Conservative retreat, the political Conservative Party retreat. A victorious Putin will not stop in Ukraine, and the end of freedom in Ukraine will mean the extinction of any hope of freedom in Georgia and then Moldova. It will mean the beginning of a new age of intimidation across Eastern Europe from the Baltic to the Black Sea. The Telegraph reports the Prime Minister also rejected normalizing relations with Mr. Putin even after the end of his invasion of Ukraine. The Prime Minister added, "This is a turning point for the world. It's a choice between freedom and oppression." I'll stop there, Professor, because it reminds that Liz Truss, the Foreign Secretary of the Great Britain, said in the first week of the conflict, "Putin must lose." Is that a war aim that you hear from NATO?
No, absolutely not. I have to say that Boris Johnson is in many ways a very erratic figure, and his defects have been known. There's a famous letter that his housemaster Eaton wrote describing what his character flaws were, and they haven't changed. But he is a very intelligent man, and he knows what Britain went through, and he understands that there's no substitute for victory. He raises the possibility: what if Putin comes back and crushes this opposition? That is a disaster. certainly it's a disaster for Europe. It's a disaster for Russia. And it will eventually be a terrible thing for the United States, too. But I don't think that we have a sense of that. So I think Johnson is absolutely on the right track. Truss is on the right track. And I think other Europeans have a similar sense of the doom that would close in unless Putin loses. I think in Washington, there's a feeling that what we really want is a kind of Johns Hopkins School of Advanced International Studies seminar-type piece, which will involve many sorts of articles and reassurances and trade-offs and all the rest, but will not create what Clausewitz says is in war termination, you want to create a situation which is then stable, in which you don't have to keep rushing in to prop it up. You have to really create a balance. You have to create deterrence, all of these things. I think that in Washington, we are thinking about, let's go back to the way it was, solve this Ukraine nonsense, and then we can get on with our original plan to be friends with Putin. What we don't understand is that this thing is really going to get big. It's going to involve a whole world island of Eurasia, one way or another. And we have to think not about going back to NATO, but we have to think about a war termination which gives a new structure to international security that will not require, say, the United States to be standing by to kind of reset it every time that it begins to wobble. This has got to be solidly based. I think Johnson understands this, but we do not.
Let's go to Keith. Keith's yes. point of view. Professor H.J. Mackinder, International Relations. This is the Friends of History Debating Society. I'm John Batchelor.
Your night in just got legendary. Get ready to chase the rush, spin, win, and redeem instantly straight to your bank account at legendswithaz.com. With free-to-play slots, blackjack, keno, roulette, and more, experience all the thrills of Vegas without leaving your couch. Legends has it all.
Legends is a free-to-play social casino. Okay. Void where prohibited. Must be 18 plus. Play responsibly. Visit legends.com for full details.
Get in the game now and score a 50% bonus on your first purchase only at legendswithaz.com.
Chances are, you've been to the doctor recently, and you probably handed over your insurance, your ID, and even your social security number. Your doctor is just one of many places that has your personal info, and if any of them accidentally expose your details, you could be at risk for identity theft. LifeLock monitors millions of data points a second. If you become a victim, they'll fix it, guaranteed, or your money back. Save up to 40% your first year. Call 1-800-LIFELOCK and use promo code IHEART or go to lifelock.com/iHeart for 40% off. Terms apply.
This Labor Day, say goodbye to spills, stains, and overpriced furniture with WashableSofas.com. Featuring Anabay, the only machine washable sofa inside and out, where designer quality meets budget-friendly pricing. Sofas start at just $6.99, making it the perfect time to upgrade your space. Anabay's pet-friendly, stain-resistant, and interchangeable slipcovers are made with high-performance fabric built for real life. You'll love the cloud-like comfort of hypoallergenic, high-resilience foam that never needs fluffing and a durable steel frame that stands the test of time. With modular pieces, you can rearrange any time. It's a sofa that adapts to your life. Now through Labor Day, get up to 60% off site-wide at WashableSofas.com. Every order comes with a 30-day satisfaction guarantee. If you're not in love, send it back for a full refund. No return shipping, no restocking fees, every penny back. Shop now at WashableSofas.com. Offers are subject to change and certain restrictions may apply.